Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
As you mentioned, Daryl, it's a good time to bring in our Cleveland Browns beat reporter, courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
Not much. Unfortunately, we don't get to talk about a win like we were planning on.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, Daryl, I said it on last Tuesday. I said, hopefully they don't lose by 21 and we have something somewhat positive to talk about. Not going to be today.
No, because, quick man, they lost by 24, not 21, so.
So close to making me almost.
Missed it by that much.
Daryl, obviously, game did not go to plan for the Browns is the way that they expected, and quarterback play didn't look great, offensive line play didn't look great. I threw it out in the first hour here that I felt, obviously, with Joe Flacco playing quarterback, the idea is, Joe's out there to try to win football games and win as many football games as you possibly can. And then when the Browns aren't doing that, you move on. Would you have considered of making his game against the Ravens the last game that he played for the Browns this year?
I am not in favor of any quarterback change just yet. I figure if you're honestly trying to win some games early in the season, he gives you the best chance to do it. I understand he didn't play all that great Sunday in Baltimore. Didn't exactly light the world on fire against the Cincinnati Bengals as well. But Dylan Gabriel does not give you a better chance to win. Dylan Gabriel gives you hope. He gives you intrigue. He gives you, let's see what we have here. He does not give you a better chance to win football games. So for me, when they put Dylan Gabriel in, that means they're raising the white flag on the season, and they are looking ahead to 2026.
Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody wants him to go quite that far, even though it feels like that might be the reality after 2 weeks of the season.
Two weeks is too early to do that. I'm sorry. Like, I get it. I understand the conversation. Like, you know, I get it. I really do. But 2 weeks is entirely too early. Now, 4 weeks, when they go to London for the Vikings in week five, okay, I might think about that, though. See, here's the other thing, too. The Packers are really, really good. The Detroit Lions are really, really good. Are you really setting Dylan Gabriel up for success with his first game being against those two defenses? And look, I'm not saying that Minnesota's a bunch of slouches either, because they're not. But I kind of feel like you can do a little ramp up these next 2 weeks to get him ready for that a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Putting him out there this week against the Green Bay Packers. I watched both of the Packers games today. Rewatched obviously the Browns Ravens game again today as well. I would not put Dylan Gabriel up against this Green Bay defense. That is like throwing chum to the sharks. So I would let Joe Flacco start at minimum these next two games, and then depending how these go, then you do a little reassessment.
Hey, Daryl, I can't help but look at the Browns-Ravens game and going back and watching it and watching the plays that were ran and watching Joe Flacco try to run bootlegs to get away from guys like Roquan Smith and hoping for the best and trying to use his legs when the run game wasn't helping them out. Does it feel like the offense was set up to begin with for Joe to be successful? The schemes that they're running so many bootlegs, or does it feel like, hey, the offense was either set up for Dylan Gabriel or not set up with anybody in mind?
I feel like that Kevin Stefanski is traumatized by the fact that the Browns have led the world in turnovers the last couple of years. And so he is trying to do everything he can to prevent those while it's at the same time having a functioning offense, right? Here's what we learned in the first 2 weeks of the season. God bless Joe Flacco. He does not have what Aaron Rodgers still has, right? I mean, we've seen the highlights of Rodgers extending those plays for the Steelers and making plays down the field. We're not seeing that from Joe Flacco. What we're seeing from Joe Flacco is he's either throwing interceptions or he's almost throwing interceptions when he's extending those plays outside the tackle box and down the field. The Cedric Tillman touchdown Sunday is a perfect example that, by all rights, that ball should have been picked. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. In that case, yes, on that particular play, Browns were luckier than good. I think that Stefanski is trying to give Joe enough latitude while also at the same time keeping the leash tight, if that makes sense. And that's not working right now. It's not producing results. But I feel like that if he does change that up and he loosens the leash, then you're just going to see possibly an avalanche of turnovers. And then, you know, we know how that movie ends, too.
Daryl Ryder with us here. Everybody on the team is obviously, you know, they go through. The Browns always go through and try to say the right things. It's just what they do. And saying that they have belief in Joe.
Except for last week. Well, were you not paying attention last week?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair. Jerry Jeudy was calling out the secondary, and that didn't work out so
Brad
hot.
Brad Delpit?
Yeah. Well, to be fair, Derrick Henry was relatively easy to tackle for the Browns defense.
Well, here's the sad part, right? Derrick Henry was a non-factor, and they still lost by 24, right? I mean, and the Ravens were rubbing it in with touchdown passes in the fourth quarter with the game already decided. So, yeah, that's the sad part of that. Is okay, yeah. Derrick Henry wasn't really much of a factor Sunday. The other Ravens certainly were.
Yeah, most definitely were. But as I look at this team, they said that they have so much confidence in that the offense is going to get better. We heard Harold Fannin say it yesterday. We heard guys after the game say it on Sunday.
Well, what are they supposed to say? No, we're terrible. We're dead where we stand. There's no way this is ever turning around. Like, what are they supposed to say, right? I mean, of course they're going to be. They have to believe that because if they don't, they're in the wrong profession. Now, do I think that they're accurate in the thought? No, I think this offense is going to be putrid all season long, quite frankly. I mean, we're going to get little glimpses here and there. And we've already gotten a couple glimpses in the first 2 weeks of the season. Just unfortunately, the glimpses aren't bright enough, right? So, I have no expectation that this offense is going to be any good this year. I think that what is drawing the ire of fans when it comes to Kevin Stefanski is, right, he's the offensive guru, and trying is the wrong word because he is trying. I want to strike that from the record. But he should be doing things creatively to maximize as much as he can. And I don't know right now that Kevin Stefanski is comfortable doing a lot of creative stuff. And I don't know that the Browns have the capability to execute creative stuff.
How much of Sunday's loss actually falls on the shoulders of Kevin?
I think it falls on the players. It would be easy to sit here and say, well, Kevin Stefanski drew up one of the most haphazard, lazy game plans ever against the Ravens. Look, they were in that game until midway through the third quarter. Then Baltimore started pulling away, and as Baltimore started to pull away and the offense wasn't doing much and the special teams kept, doing what the special teams does under Bubba Ventrone, which is absolutely nothing. I'm still trying to figure out what, if anything, Bubba Ventrone actually does for this organization at this point. But, the defense got gassed, and then in the fourth quarter, it just was an avalanche, right? Three touchdowns for the Ravens there in that fourth quarter to really put the final nails in the 0-2 casket for the Browns. So it would be easy to sit here and say, yeah, this is all on Kevin Stefanski. You got to have the horses. This is on Andrew Berry. This ain't on Kevin Stefanski. This is on Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry took over a team from John Dorsey that was prepared to be a perennial contender. He got rid of a quarterback who I recognize needed to hit rock bottom and, whatever. But the bottom line is this dude is lighting it up. He's throwing touchdown passes left and right. He's getting all these game-winning drives. Meanwhile, the Browns, if they get a touchdown pass in a game, it's like, grounds for a round of applause. And he made arguably the worst trade in NFL history. He negotiated the worst contract in NFL history. The only thing that in my mind that is saving him right now is these rookies don't look like they stink. These rookies look like that there's some legitimate promise there. That's the only thing that's saving Andrew Berry in my eyes right now, is that it does not look like he completely blew another draft, because Jed Wills wasn't it. With his, you know, first round pick.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Should have taken Tristan Wirfs, right? Still can't draft wide receivers in the middle rounds. But this particular class, it looks pretty good. Mason Graham looks like there's some promise there. Carson Schlesinger, big-time promise there. Harold Fannin Jr., big-time promise there. So, like, there's some promise there. And that might ultimately save Andrew Berry's job. But he took a roster that was ready to win on a consistent basis, and that roster now is back to where he was when he was here with Sashi Brown. They have won 3 of 19 games, okay? 3 of their last 19 games going back to last season, including an 8-game losing streak. The Browns are back to being the Browns, and that's all under Andrew Berry's watch, and Andrew Berry, in my view, is the one that's responsible for the mess.
Hey, Daryl, do you still feel that Kevin and Andrew are going to be tied at the hip when this year comes to an end? If the Browns want to say goodbye to one of them, does it ultimately end in them saying goodbye to both?
I think so, but I hope not, because I sincerely believe... Look, I think Andrew Berry is a very bright guy, and I believe that he's capable. I don't know that he is a general manager. I think he's a number two in a front office. But Kevin Stefanski is a head coach. He's a very good coach. Now, do I get overly excited by his press conferences or watching the clips in the locker room with him, you know, pumping up the players and things like that? No. But I do think he's a very good coach, and he'll have a job tomorrow as a head coach in the National Football League if the Browns were to fire him. And it is part of the reason why I'm kind of like, I would like to see them come back next year, but I am extremely nervous about Andrew Berry picking the next quarterback, because he has whiffed massively on that position in his 6 years as the top football executive here.
Daryl, moving away from some of the quarterback and the coaches and Berry, I'm still sitting here trying to figure out what the hell happened to Jerry Jeudy. Is it too early to be concerned about him with all the drops right now?
Look, every receiver drops passes. The problem is when you're as bad as the Browns are offensively, the drops get headlines, right? Let's be honest about it, because the margin of error is paper thin. So I'm not overly concerned. This is a guy that put a Pro Bowl season together a year ago, 1,000-yard receiver. I think he's a good receiver. He'll come out of it. I also don't think that the quarterback situation is helping. And the quarterback situation this year is not going to help, whether that's Joe Flacco, whether it's Dylan Gabriel, whether we see Deshaun Watson again, which I do think is going to happen, whether we see Shedeur Sanders in week 18 to mop up the season finale in Cincinnati against the Bengals and get us to draft optimism season. But I'm not putting a lot on Jerry Jeudy right now. What I do get concerned with, though, is the building frustrations, right? This is not a team that responds very well to adversity right now. And I do worry about a snowball effect, not just with Jerry Jeudy, but like on the defensive side, right? I mean, defense is doing their job, and then, you know, they're not getting rewarded for doing that job, right? And then usually what happens is then injuries start to pile up and everything falls off. So right now I am worried about how this team is going to attack and handle the adversity that they are staring at right now. And that's not just a Jerry Jeudy thing.
Daryl, I mean, I think we're on the same page when it comes to week three against the Packers. I think there's about a 0% chance the Browns walk away with a win in this game.
I think that's fair. Yes, I think that's very, very fair. But that's why you play the games. That's why we love sports. That's what makes it so compelling. Anything can happen. Like, I you can never say never. But when I watch how it's similar like to the Ravens, right? I watch the Ravens play football, then I watch the Browns. I watch how the Packers play football, then I watch the Browns. And it is night and day, okay? They're really good at football. The Browns are not good at football. They've been good at football for a very, very long time. The Browns have been bad at football for a very, very long time, with the exception of the occasional good season here and there, right? So, I'm not giving them much of a chance to win on Sunday, but that's why they play the games, and anything can happen.
What needs to change on the offensive side of the ball, aside from, you know, put points on the board and catch the football? What actually needs to change?
They need to block better up front. They need to be healthier up front. They need to, catching the ball is somewhat important, especially if you're a receiver. It's in the job description. In fact, that's the number one thing on the job description besides run the right routes, right? Be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. When the ball comes to you, you got to catch the football, right? But to me, they got to be better up front. They got to catch the ball. Because here's the thing, too, is I think if they're better up front, that's the domino effect. Because if you're not good up front, that affects the quarterback play. The quarterback play then affects everything else, right? If you're better up front, quarterback has a better shot. Maybe everything else improves from there. So I think it starts in the trenches. That's for me the number one thing that needs to happen. DeJuan Jones needs to not have to leave football games because he's dehydrated or it's too hot for him to play. Like, really? And look, I'm going to give that kid credit. He has, you know, resculpted his body. He looks good physically, but really, you can't play because you're dehydrated. Like, you can't have that. And I'm not picking on him, but that is a problem. Like, Jack Conklin not playing because he injured his elbow. That's one thing, but you're not able to play because of physical conditioning. That's inexcusable to me. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not picking on DeJuan, but I got to point that out. Like, if he left because he turned his ankle or he hurt his wrist or shoulder or something, that's different. But you're not conditioned to play. That's a problem. And it's happened in two straight games. And they are a little thin on the offensive line. And I don't know if this guy needs to run laps. I don't even know if he needs to run stairs. I don't know. But whatever he needs to do so that he can play a full complement of snaps in a game, he's got to do.
Daryl, going from last year where it was the scheme difference, obviously when we talk offensive line coaches, there was a very little belief to the point where Mike Vrabel was coaching the offensive line. It feels like this unit should be a unit that really has no excuses going back to the Stefanski offense, back to the right blocking scheme that they're used to. Blumgren in there as a coach, who's a Callahan disciple. Like, yep. This should be a group that has no excuses right now, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they got what they wanted, right? And that is to get back to the pin and pull scheme that they're all very good at, right? But they got a problem at center, and they got a problem at two tackle positions. And quick math, that's three out of the five positions. You got two guys on that offensive line right now that are reliable, and that's Joel Bitonio, and that is Wyatt Teller. And so you do the math, right? Again, I think DeJuan Jones is a really good player. I do. But there are issues there. Jack Conklin, when he's healthy, is an all-pro. The issue is for him, health. And again, center is what it is. So, it would stand to reason because they got back to, or I should say they went back to what they all like, right, about what the Browns offense used to be. Yeah, you would think that they would be in much better shape up front than they currently are.
Daryl, appreciate you setting aside the time as always. I'm going to set the bar higher. Hopefully when we talk next week, the Browns don't lose by 28.
Okay. Well, I was going to say if they could keep it within 23, that's a win, right?
Okay. I'll take that. Okay. I'll meet you at 23. You know what? That's fine.
Here's the thing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the Cleveland Browns lose by less than 23 points on Sunday. I am willing to give them that at this point.
I hope you're right, Daryl. I really hope you're right. I mean, we're trying to army. We're trying to dig under the ground to get over the bar, and I'm just hoping it works. Appreciate you, Daryl.
You betcha.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports beat reporter, joining us there. We're going to react to what he had to say as well. Is the loss on Kevin Stefanski? Do you pin it on the head coach for Sunday's just embarrassment against the Ravens?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.